Welcome to the program. We'll get started in just a second, but first got to tell you about the Jace case from Jace Medical. If you remember the pandemic days, you probably have this like weird memory where you were staying inside too much, and I think maybe like they made you put cloth on your face for a while and none of the restaurants were open, that whole thing. And you might remember part of that was these big supply chain disruptions. Well, now here we are, what, 4 years later, there are more than 200 drug shortages right here in the United States. I thought this was supposed to get better, not worse. Healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, supply chain issues, all this stuff to make this situation make some sense, I guess, to people. But what about avoiding all of this? What about if you have something serious that happens to you and you can't get a hold of the medications you need? Why not prepare for that situation? With the Jace case, it provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is get a simple form online, fill it out, and you'll have it there ready for you in case you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well, EpiPens, ivermectin, whatever you need. Jace Medical is there, empowering you to take care of your family's health care. Take a shot at it, because you got to be prepared in case something happens. Not to mention, it's great if you travel or, you know, I don't know, if you're like me, you're too lazy, you don't want to make appointments. JaceMedical.com, JaceMedical.com. Use the code STU at checkout for your order. The promo code is STU at JaceMedical.com, J-A-S-E, Medical.com.
STU does America.
Joe Biden, an elderly man with a poor memory. It's the slogan that defines a generation. I mean, it's a generation from like 100 years ago, but that generation. Here it is. The mug is here. You can get it at StuDoesMerch.com. T-shirt. I got one right here. Check it out. It's pretty cool. It's one of those things that, like, from a distance, like, is he wearing a Joe Biden campaign shirt? And then you get closer and you realize, no, this is the opposite of a Joe Biden campaign shirt, reminding you why you should not vote for him. The code is STU10 at StuDoesMerch.com. Get 10% off your order. Also, go to YouTube, YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got a comedy bit section up there now that I think you're going to like. Be sure to like and comment on any of the videos and hit the bell for notifications and follow the page. We do really appreciate it. Dan Andros is here to discuss the terrible plight of women forced to get in their cars and travel to other states for their abortions. Oh, so terrible. We're going to start by doing Columbia University. Yes, students, we're doing you today. All of you, boys and girls and non-binary people alike. It's that kind of day. Now, you remember, these elite universities have had just the slightest dash of anti-Semitism in their recipes lately. I don't know if you've happened to notice that. It seems like a lot of protests are rising up all across the country, especially at these universities, though, where they're protesting the right of the Jewish people to respond to a bunch of their people getting killed. And the reason, of course, they're doing that largely is because they don't really mind if they got killed. That's not really a concern. Remember, they're super mean, those Jews. That's kind of the setup here. And if you remember, a bunch of the elite, heads of the elite institutions got together, were dragged into Congress, and that, to refresh your memory, did not go well.
At MIT, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate MIT's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
If targeted at individuals, not making public statements.
Yes or no? Calling for the genocide of Jews does not constitute bullying and harassment?
I have not heard calling for the genocide for Jews on our campus.
But you've heard chants for Intifada.
I've heard chants, which can be anti-Semitic depending on the context, when calling for the elimination of the Jewish people.
So those would not be according to the MIT's code of conduct or rules?
That would be investigated as harassment if pervasive and severe.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment, yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer yes, Ms. McGill. So is your testimony that you will not answer yes?
If it is, if the speech becomes, if the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment, yes.
Conduct meaning committing the act of genocide? The speech is not harassment? This is unacceptable, Ms. McGill. I'm going to give you one more opportunity for the world to see your answer. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's code of conduct when it comes to bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be harassment.
The answer is yes. And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual, targeted as, at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric.
And is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation, that is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard code of conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board.
Yeah, that was quite a barn burner there, and it was one of those moments where like people at Yale were like, whoo, Dartmouth, glad we didn't get invited to that one. Columbia, oh-ho, we are free to go until, well, yesterday. Mm-hmm, because Columbia's having their own set of problems. A lot of those other guys got fired, ladies got fired a while ago. Columbia is now in the middle of this. In Congress, Columbia's leaders try to please. At home, they face anger. And this is Namat Shafiq, who is the head of Columbia. She was going to be brought in front of Congress to answer some questions. People had some questions for her and others over at Columbia. And why? Well, there's been all these riots and calls for, I mean, the same type of stuff, right? Calls for genocide.
Well, what was the context of that? Was it targeted at individuals?
Just so you know, it's impossible to target a claim of genocide against an individual because the whole point of genocide is to wipe out the entire race. So you really can't do it toward an individual. That's basically impossible. But all these people are calling for this type of stuff, threatening both groups of Jews and individual Jews for the actions of their government, which are just in response to a bunch of a massive day of mass murder. Here is some of the wonderful protesting going on. This is outside Columbia University. There is a bunch of arrests going on. We can show the video here. Yes, there it is. This is sort of constant going on right now on the streets of New York. Of course, also encampments have broken out. There are tents on the Columbia lawn. This housing the Gaza protesters. We can show that video as well. Now on day two of the protests, and wow, what a nice place to be. First of all, it's still freaking cold up there, isn't it? Well, I mean, it's the 80s down here. Why did I ever live in this area? And it was a mistake for me to be born there. And then you have, of course, the protesters going crazy again, chanting that they believe they will win. Lots of people out there. Now they believe they will win. Will they win? Interesting. Columbia's president is telling Congress that action is needed against anti-Semitism. Shafiq had said some contested phrases like from the river to the sea might warrant discipline, angering some supporters of academic freedom, because calling for the genocide of Jews is always so academically freeing. And why won't they just let them be free? Now, in case you don't know, in case you've bought the propaganda of, you know, people like Rashida Tlaib, from the river to the sea means no Jews anywhere in Israel. That's what it's meant for a very long time. It's what it means now. It doesn't mean we want to coexist with the Jews as long, you know, as they're not anywhere within a few thousand miles of us. It basically means either all the Jews die or all the Jews get removed from the country. Neither one is good. Neither one is good. It's their nation. It's a Jewish state. It's been that way for quite some time, and I don't think they're ready to give it up just quite yet. So you can think that you believe that you will win, and maybe you will. Who knows? The country's really screwed up right now. But, man, that would be a bad victory. And I can't even imagine what we'd be looking at in the history books if that victory occurs. So you remember what this sounded like last time with Elise Stefanik saying, hey, like, is it against your code of conduct to call for the genocide of really any group of people, but the Jews? And they're all like, oh, I don't know, context, context, context. Well, the people at Columbia saw that hearing, apparently, because, wow, did this one come off a little bit differently.
Yes or no question for all of the witnesses. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Columbia's code of conduct? Mr. Greenwald.
Yes, it does.
Ms. Shipman.
Yes, it does.
Dr. Shafiq.
Yes, it does.
And Professor Schizer.
Yes, it does.
Wow! The tone has changed a little bit, hasn't it? I mean, you want to talk about an argument for Elise Stefanik to be the VP for Trump. She's supposedly on the short list. I don't know that she's the best candidate. You know, who knows? She might be. But I will say that this is kind of her audition tape, right? Like, the fact that she's been able to kind of change this environment like this is a real notch in her belt. And I will say, she did a really good job at the last hearing, and she was there for the other one. We'll give you a moment of that in a second. But, like, this is the easiest question in the world. Like, when someone asks you, hey, do you agree with, or would you tolerate, or are you thinking maybe it's against your code of conduct to call for the genocide of Jews or really any group of people? Your answer should always be, yeah, it violates it. No, I'm not okay with it. No, thank you. That's apparently hard for people at places like MIT and places like Harvard, which is fascinating. Penn, it's just absolutely fascinating. So this is kind of like the old Ghostbusters thing, like when a ghost asks you if you're a god, you just say yes. This one is similar to that. If someone asks you, your code of conduct, is it violated by calls for genocide of the Jews? Yeah, just say yes. Yeah, pretty much it does. And made that problem go away, at least that problem. Of course, there's other problems going on. Now, Stefanik is going after these elite institutions. And this is now kind of being sought as not something she actually believes, but just sort of like a tactic. Stefanik has taken aim at elite college presidents. She's a rising star within her party, but her grilling of the presidents of Harvard, Penn, and MIT at a December hearing became a defining moment. That's true, and the reason it's true is because she was completely right and she did a good job with it. That's why. Those are the two reasons why it has become a defining moment. No magic tricks here. She just asked really obvious questions and then didn't give up when people tried to talk her into circles. She said, no, answer the freaking questions. Now, Stefanik was also talking to Shafiq from Columbia yesterday. And there's a conversation going on about this particular professor. Professor Massad is his name. He had a very prominent role. And then, you know, kind of started doing some things that were problematic. He tweeted about the October 7th attacks and called them awesome. Now, there are a lot of things, a lot of words I would use to describe the October 7th attacks, but awesome would not be one of them. So should this guy remain in his position of prominence? Remember what we just saw a few minutes ago with the Harvard and the MIT and the Penn leaders. They were all just like, well, let me explain this to you. Let me talk down to you and give you the nuanced, smart person understanding of this. Of course, there's context-dependent speech that we must blah, 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 blah. Look at the difference here. Shafiq from Columbia knows what's on the line here, which is her, employment-wise, her head, because if she screws this up, she's in real trouble, right? Look at the way this whole exchange goes down. Slightly different than last time.
Another instance when you changed your testimony is you stated that Professor Massad was no longer chair. Then you stated he's under investigation. He is still chair on the website. So has he been terminated as chair?
Congresswoman, I want to confirm the facts before getting back to you.
I know you confirmed that he was under investigation.
Yes, I can confirm that.
Did you confirm he was still the chair?
I need to confirm that with you.
Well, let me ask you this. Will you make the commitment to remove him as chair?
I think that would be, I think I would, yes. Let me come back with yes, but I think I just want to confirm his current status before I write.
We'll take that as a yes, that you will confirm that he will no longer be chair.
Ooh, I mean, she knew it was coming there, and she threw this professor under the bus. We will see if that holds up. The problem is, and as the New York Times, I think, does an okay job of capturing, to America, to Congress, to any sane individuals, she's on obviously the right side of this here, getting rid of this professor and saying that, yes, of course, this is a violation of our code of conduct. When she gets back to school, the boys and girls are going to be very pissed off at her, and she's going to have to deal with anger and fury from people. Let's be honest about it, because a lot of times you can say, like, these are, you know, stupids, you know, a bunch of dumb students who are, you know, just coming up with the stupid opinion that they think is tough. They're the tough guy opinion, sort of the rebellion opinion. Oh, we're not going to support Israel. That a lot of times is true, right? Like a lot of these protesters, the climate protesters, like, you know, some of them are nuts. Some of them are serious. Some of them will light your SUV on fire. But generally speaking, they're just a bunch of stupid kids that eventually will understand how the world works. When you're out there calling for the genocide of Jews and you're cheering Hamas on, you're in a different category. Like, in this country, just hoping Hamas succeeds decapitating Jews isn't a crime. Like, you can hope it happens. It may be a violation of the code of conduct, but you can hope really bad things happen to people. When you're supporting Hamas publicly and you're doing it in front of people and letting everyone know that you are a supporter of an internationally recognized terrorist group, I think that puts you in a different category. It's not a category that the First Amendment ignores, right? Like, it's you still have your protections as long as you do not have direct action. And again, imminent direct physical action needs to be inspired for certain laws to kick in. And look, the courts, I think, correctly have been very defensive of your right to say crazy crap. I think that's the appropriate way to go. But I don't know. Do you put it by people who are supporting Hamas to do more than just speak? Do you? Are you sure all your buildings aren't going to be burned to the ground tomorrow? Are you? You sure something bad's not going to happen to you when you turn your back against these people? Against protesters who are supporting an internationally recognized terrorist group? Are you sure? I'm not sure. I worry for these people. I worry when people take on monsters that would support what happened on October 7th and call it awesome. If that's your take, what are you capable of? I don't think any of us really know. And when you have thousands and thousands of thousands of people supporting the right to go out there and say, hey, the Jews need to all die, if that's you, you're a problem. And I don't think anyone truly understands what people like that are capable of. Well, the perfect gene gave me this script to read, and I'm literally reading it word for word right now, including this sentence. That said, I actually tried the perfect gene, and it is a word that I can't say on television. Awesome. Actually, perfect gene is great. You're going to love this. They make 6 fits from skinny to thick. They have a waist from 26 to 50. They got lengths from 26 to 38. Big boys, short kings, tall dudes, and all the rest, they've got you. Yes, I'm still reading the script. For a limited time, my listeners can get 15% off their first order, plus free shipping at theperfectgene.nyc, or just Google The Perfect Gene. When you get there, use code STU15. That 15% off gonna come to you. I love these things. You're gonna love them too. They're really comfortable. They fit great. Stop wearing uncomfortable jeans. Why would you do such a thing? Go to theperfectjean.nyc. You will get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping, free returns, free exchanges when you use the code STU15 at checkout. It's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code STU15. Now, after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them that this show sent you, because that's how they know you like this stupid show. Forget the khakis. Get perfect jeans today. It's theperfectjean.nyc. All right, Dan Andros is in town this week. He's managing editor at CBN, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to right now, wherever you get your podcast. Dan, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
All right.
Let's talk about a couple of stories that I've been meaning to get to this week. I talked about this one briefly the other day, but it's this really kind of sad story from the New York Times, how women at one Arizona clinic are grappling with the abortion ruling. It describes many women who are going through this terrible moment where they realize they may not actually be able to end the life of their child in the state they choose after a few months, which is really got to be devastating.
It really makes it seem like they've taken away, I don't know, organic fruit or something at the grocery store, right? Like, these women are grappling with it. They cannot get their kombucha at the grocery store anymore. They've taken it away.
Yeah.
What is this framing? It's like, these are the sorts of things, by the way, the media does this all the time. It drives me nuts. Like, they put a little word in there, like grappling, right? They're grappling with this. Who? How many women are getting abortions that they're all out here just devastated, crying in the streets and writhing around, right? Because I just can't get this abortion that I do six times a week.
Right. Well, it's the thing. It's interesting because, first of all, you know, very few women get abortions,
right,
at all. It's a low percentage of Americans. The overwhelming American women, numbers of American women, do not ever get an abortion in their entire lives. Those who do usually get one. And if they're going to get one, it's going to happen one time in their life, sometime between, let's say, you know, knowing the left, I don't know, let's just be careful, 14 and 60. I don't know. But it's like, there's not like, it's not like this is something they're dealing with on a daily basis. And the other part about this is the law doesn't kick in until June. So there are no people right now that would not be able to get the abortion in the state they want to get it. Like, the law doesn't kick in. They would have the abortion before the law kicks in. They shouldn't have the abortion at all. But, like, there's zero people in the state that this is affecting right now. Now, maybe as you got closer to the deadline, it might start affecting people, but right now it's not affecting anyone.
But again, affecting them meaning they can't go in and kill their child.
Right, yes.
Right, like, this is honestly one of the greatest, like, you know, of all time, like how they turn this around to make
it's the sympathetic
story, right? Like, you are portrayed in the media, like, as someone who's pro-life, as you are this evil monster that's just taking away their rights and their God-given rights to do what they want to do. Like, you evil jerk.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. I'm just trying to save the babies. Like, I just don't want you to kill things. Like,
how
is this?
The side that wants children to be alive not
right
become the humanitarian side,
right,
of this argument.
Right.
I don't understand.
And the
that
media settles into this, which is what drives me nuts. Like, they settle into this tone of, oh no, this is going away. They're taking it away. And it's worked. It's worked. I don't know how, but it's worked.
Do you think it's a successful, like, as far as like running this next campaign? The left is basically saying, like, first of all, we got nothing else to run on. All the stuff is going really badly. Inflation, overseas matters, yeah, all these things, the border. So what do we do? Well, let's lean on abortion. It seems like we have a slight polling advantage there. Do you think this is something that really moves people, though, to, I mean, is this the thing that overturns an election?
I don't know. I mean, like, there's been debate about that on the numbers on, like, oh, you know, because it's been widely credited that the midterms, that was abortion. But I think
there's an agenda there, too.
Yeah. And when you dive into those numbers, it's not so clear that maybe it's lock, stock, you know, guaranteed that that's what happened there. It could have been other things. You know, obviously, as we know, elections are, you know, there's a lot of things at play there. It's usually not just coming down to one issue like that. So there's debate about that. And they certainly think they can. I don't know. I mean, I've almost given up on trying to prognosticate on, like, what the public's going to do, just because it's constantly just like throws me for a loop every single time. I'm like, really? That's what we're going to do? But I do think Democrats certainly think that, and they're certainly going to lean into that for sure.
And also, I mean, this is, of course, sort of a beneficial Trump analysis. It's an analysis he's put forward because in 2022, Republicans didn't do so well. The last thing Trump wants to do is say, well, it was because of all the people I endorsed. Not going to say that. Right. So he's kind of blaming it on abortion. I am with you on that. I mean, how many pro-choice voters does Trump have to lose? I mean, is it that many? I don't know. I don't think so,
because if you look at people on the right, like conservative Christians, evangelical Christians, what's the reason they give when you say, well, how can you support somebody like Trump who's, you know, morally, questionable character? And they say, well, at least we ended Roe. We got those judges in there.
And that's a legitimate defense.
It's a legitimate defense, but
it is a strange one if you're going to come out and say, well, we shouldn't talk about abortion anymore because it's going to cause problems in the election. Right. Like, well, who is this person they keep describing?
I don't know.
House progressives are going to try to make a move as well. They're releasing an agenda for 2025 with ideas for Biden to excite the base. And this is not about as much cultural stuff like, hey, we've got to get to 9 months. This is more of an economic plan. Let me give you some of the details of this. They want to raise the federal minimum wage to $17 an hour. Mm. They want to guarantee overtime pay. They want to cap child care costs at 7% of income for all families, expanding Social Security benefits, adding dental, vision, and hearing benefits to Medicare, protect renters, and make housing more affordable. What stands out to you here, Dan?
I mean, this is just standard operating procedure for Democrats. It's how much stuff can we promise to give away and see how much we can excite people to get the free stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's essentially what it is. Like, damn the torpedoes on the fact that we're massively in debt. We can't afford any of this stuff. They just don't care. I mean, but this is the way they operate in politics. It's like we offer all the free stuff. Republicans say no. And then they're the bad guys because they don't want you to have all the free stuff.
I remember, I think it was the 14th Amendment where we outlawed buying people. But it seems like they're trying to bring it back here over and over again. Let me just give you one other part that just encapsulates progressive economic theory. This is fascinating. Number one, the minimum wage is $17 an hour. Number two, you're going to guarantee overtime pay. And then number three, you're going to cap child care costs at 7%. So if you're paying $17 an hour, you're paying overtime, the cost of child care goes not down, but up. And then you're going to cap the cost of the child care as well. How do those things work together? I don't think they do.
They don't. I think, didn't FDR try something like this similar with like the farm price controls? Mm-hmm. And then they ended up trying to like having to like slaughter all the pigs and all this stuff. Yes. And then they kind of found that it didn't work. Like price controls and then also like forcing all these employers to, increase their costs is just, it's a death knell. You let the market work these things out. And, we've talked about this, but it's like, minimum wage jobs are never the goal, right? Like trying to raise the minimum wage should not be the goal. The goal should be I have a minimum wage job and I'm striving to get the next job.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and go, well, got my minimum wage job. I'm set for life.
Right. I can't wait for them to raise it again.
Right. It's going to be great. Finally, I'll get a pay raise. Like, no, like you have to go and actually work and do a good job and ask for a raise.
This country, by the way, is incredibly good at getting people off of the minimum wage. Yes, no one earns it.
Listen, my daughter a couple years ago got her first job at Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And I think the minimum wage where we were was like, I don't know, $7.50 or $8 or something like that. And they started her out at like $9 or $10. They already started her out above minimum wage.
For
she'd never had a job before in her life. Yes, exactly.
Amazing. And it goes up from there.
Yep.
Now, Trump is trying to buy all these Biden is trying to buy all these voters with like the student loan stuff, especially on the younger side. Trump, though, is cutting into Biden's lead among young people. New poll finds Trump 45 to 37, Biden leading Trump 45 to 37 among voters 18 to 29 in a Harvard Youth poll, which is different than the Hitler Youth, just so you know. Harvard Youth poll released Thursday, 16% undecided. Because you have kind of an interesting window into several different voting groups. So let me just ask you, and you kind of answer this how you want, but Pennsylvania, you're a Pennsylvania voter, so you kind of have a vibe there. Faith-based voters, Christian voters, you work for CBN, you're talking to these people all the time during your show online. And also homeschooler, you're a homeschooling family. Where do these voters go? Do you have any idea for those three groups?
Well, Pennsylvania, My reaction to them, disappointing. Because in the local elections even, I don't know what the national one's going to do, but in the local one, you have people that are going there and they keep voting in these incredibly woke, like, school board people. And, like, they hired the DEI person, and it's costing, like, you know, $180,000 a year in taxpayer money for this DEI person that is doing who knows what, just going around and yelling people for not being inclusive enough. I don't know what they do, but it's costing $180,000 a year out of a part of, you know, in my community for these taxes. So they keep voting for this stuff. Nobody gets mad at it. It just keeps happening and it keeps going in. So I'm in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So take that for what it's worth. So
it's a purplish area.
Yeah. Fetterman's been interesting, though. I will
really
say
really interesting.
Like, he's been very interesting, like, particularly on the Israel issue. He said some things where you're like, I mean, I didn't see that coming.
He's been really good on that issue. I don't know if it goes beyond the Israel issue, but he's been so outspoken. It's been impressive
right
on that.
And look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Fetterman's great and I agree with everything. But, like, I always appreciate someone who's just willing to say something outside of the expected line, right? Like, even somebody who's a conservative and then maybe they say something, they have a different view. I might not like that, but at least I can know they're not just a stooge who's just like towing the line, right? Like, they have a mind of their own and they can actually think. In this day and age, I appreciate that. As far as Christian evangelical vote, a lot of people in my circles that I talk to, it's what I keep hearing is, like, you know, they're not huge fans of Trump's, like, personal life and, you know, some of the things he says, et cetera, et cetera. But when they look at the alternative, and you see child mutilation, you see pro-abortion, you see all the woke things, all the division that's sowing there by trying to separate us by race and going back to that idea. They're just so mortified at that. And the hatred of America. I mean, if we're being frank, that's what they're sowing, right? It's this deep-seated hatred of America. I think they feel no choice, but they've got to go with Trump. So, and then there's some people who just really like Trump, right? Sure. There's them too. So, but a lot of it is just
the alternative.
The alternative is so bad. It's so horrible. That's the way I'm going.
How about, and what was the last homeschooling group? Was the last one. I think this is an interesting group because we're seeing a real movement around the country for school choice. Something that, hey, maybe, and this is a crazy idea, maybe if I'm not using the schools, I don't pay for the schools.
Right. Yes.
This seems to me to be very, very basic. Usually I don't pay for services that I don't utilize at all, or at least I try not to. You've been in the homeschool community your entire life as a parent. How do you see, you talk to a lot of these guys, you go back and forth with these groups often. What is their vibe on this when it comes to education in the election?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly interesting. I will say, I mean, politics doesn't seem to come up a lot, like a ton, to be honest with you. Like,
that's
when
good.
when we're doing this stuff. I mean, in my house, I mean, my family certainly hears about the tax point that you brought up because I've been paying that every year and we haven't put one kid in any of these schools for any amount of time. And it's incredibly
infuriating.
For people who love choice, they seem to abandon that mantra of choice. Like, when it comes to this issue, nope, you have to go to our indoctrination camps. No getting around that one.
Yeah, that's how you know they don't actually mean the choice thing.
Yeah.
They don't even mean it as it regards to healthcare. Look at the COVID situation. They didn't mean a word of choice, you controlling your own healthcare.
Yeah.
They didn't mean a minute of that.
Yeah.
Let me come back here in a second. We're going to be back with more with Dan Andros just a minute. First, let me talk to you about My Patriot Supply. What if let's say your food supply lasted forever, didn't run out? This isn't some pipe dream. This is an endless food supply that can actually exist. When grocery store shelves are wiped clean and you got a national emergency going on, you're going to need some fail-proof food you can depend on, because your access to food cannot be guaranteed. Declare your food independence by going to preparewithstew.com. You can pick up your continuous food supply packed inside the survival seed vault from My Patriot Supply. Look, helping millions of American families prepare since 2008. Gosh, I remember when they started talking with us on the radio show. It was right around that time. It feels like forever ago. This has turned into a massive, massive group of people who are helping you prepare. The survival seed vault from Patriot Patriot Seeds is a never-ending source of fresh fruits and vegetables. 20 varieties, zone-friendly, 100% heirloom seeds. These are triple-sealed to protect against the elements. Plant them right away, wait up to 5 years or more. Do what you need to do. Grow, harvest, and replant fresh, delicious beans, greens, tomatoes, melons, and so much more. Go to preparewithstew.com, preparewithstew.com, your survival seed vault. Get it now and start planning a food supply that never stops. It's preparewithstew.com from My Patriot Supply. Back with Dan Andros, CBN's Quick Start podcast. RFK Jr., he was here yesterday in the building, interviewed with Glenn Beck. That podcast is available to you if you're a Blaze TV subscriber, I believe, today. And then Saturday for everybody. Glenn had a long conversation with him. We've had long conversations with him before. Interesting development in that basically his entire family is coming out to make an endorsement for president. But it's not him. It's Joe Biden. They're like, we don't want our brother slash uncle slash cousin slash nephew slash whoever to be president of the United States. They don't want RFK. 15 members of the family. Is this a little depressing if you're RFK? I mean, take the politics out of it for a second. Your whole family is against you.
Yeah. And then look, in fairness to him, I mean, essentially what's happened here is that he's an apostate, right, in their family. Like, he dared to say something that wasn't insanely liberal. Right. And so then, like, they're just like, and of course, it's on the vax, which is doubly, you know, if you're a liberal, like, what? Like, you question the vaccine? Oh, no.
Of course, they were all questioning the vaccine until Joe Biden got elected. Kamala Harris was on TV saying how evil it was. I would never take a Trump vaccine right before the election. And that would have been the Kennedy family position as well had Trump won. But since he lost, and then they had to be all of a sudden behind the vaccine.
Stop with all the facts, too. Stop with all the facts incredible. And the records and the things people said and your fancy clips of them saying flip-flopping things.
Speaking about what people say and facts, we have a bit of an issue with Joe Biden and facts. And it's not just him manipulating, you know, political issues as you kind of expect from Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anything about what's happened in his life or anyone in his family's life. This is fascinating. He brought up the brother of his mother. So I guess his uncle, right? His uncle, he says, got shot down in New Guinea. And he said the body was never recovered. And, quote, there used to be a lot of cannibals in the area, kind of insinuating his uncle was shot down and then eaten by cannibals. Well, the U.S. government's record of missing service members does not attribute Finnegan's death to hostile action at all or indicate cannibals were. So it's not just the cannibals thing was fake. It's also he wasn't even shot down. They say it was an undetermined reason.
I really feel like what we're seeing right now is sort of this scenario where you've got a politician who's been in office for probably longer than I've been alive, and I'm almost 50.
Longer than you've been alive.
Yeah.
So 72 he was elected.
So we've seen that perhaps some things are misfiring here. And it's like a lifelong of pandering, like, I grew up with Puerto Ricans, they're all around me. And like, I grew up in the black church, I grew up in the white church. He just says all these things. So he like pandered over the years. And I feel like they're just sort of like these memories that are coming back and like, oh, and they just spit out. Like they're misfiring all over
and
the
place. And he's crossing the streams all over the place. And like, to him, when he was first in office, like saying like, I liked a lot of Puerto Ricans was probably the right thing to say. Right. Now it seems a tad offensive.
Right.
But we do, as of right now, we do not think anyone in the Biden family is delicious enough for cannabis. That is what we do know. We'll be back with more from Dan Andros in just a second. Making sure you have fruits and vegetables in your diet is an important thing, maintaining a healthy diet. Do you tell your kids, do you get your kids to eat fruits and vegetables? How do they do with that?
My wife does that.
Your wife does that.
I don't do that.
I know you well enough to know you've never eaten a fruit or a vegetable.
I don't. Not many.
I mean, there's lettuce sometimes at Taco Bell on the taco that you might consume by mistake.
Right. Swiss cake rolls, those sorts of things are my fruits and vegetables. Like, I feel like cake, like there's got to be some fruit in there and the ingredients somewhere. Like maybe like a cherry roll or something. Like, I don't know.
Perhaps. You might benefit from balance of nature.
Yes.
Balance of nature Look, you want to get your recommended servings of fruits and vegetables. You're probably not going to do it at Taco Bell or with Swiss cake rolls. You're going to need Balance of Nature. They provide an on-the-go solution. They haven't raised their prices in 10 years, so if you're worried about inflation, you don't have to worry about that. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables come in easy-to-swallow capsules, and they'll give your body so much of the nourishment it needs. Imagine trying to eat 31 different kinds of produce in a single day. You're not going to pull that one off. Balance of Nature can get it done in like 10 seconds. So when you go to balanceofnature.com, you get 35% off plus 10 bucks off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. It's limited to 5 sets, but you'll save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need without having to actually like eat them. You know, it's just nice and quick. Balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STEW. 35% off. It's balanceofnature.com. Back with Dan Andros, CBN's Quick Start podcast. Dan, the Olympics are coming up, and NBC is trying to make it interesting, which is hard to do, okay? I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm not all that interested, but they're trying all these crazy ideas. They're first of all going to put all these games on Peacock. Are you a Peacock subscriber by any chance?
Nope. I'm holding the line. Like, I think that everyone has their breaking point on subscriptions, and like, for some reason, Peacock is mine. Like,
Really? Well,
because it's like, you know, NFL, like, I think I paid for one of the teams to watch all their games 1 year, and I'm like, I'm already paying for, like, these teams. Like, it's a playoff game. No, like, you're not doing that to me. I'm just not going to watch your playoff game.
And what about, like, Disney? Do you subscribe to Disney?
Well, yes.
So that's not past the line.
I'm not saying, like, there's, like, this consistent principle on it. I'm just saying, like, there's a couple shows. I like Mandalorian, and so I'm like, well, it's right. I don't like Disney and their wokeness. I hate it. But, like, there's a couple shows I like, so right. I stick with it.
I did draw the line on Star Wars. Not even, like, an intentional stance. I just got sick of all the nonsense. The Gina Carano thing really threw me for a loop.
It had me almost doing it. I was like, really? I'm holding out hope they, like, correct it and bring her back on that, but I don't even know she'll want to come back.
We will see. Here's some of the other ideas, though. They're going to put Snoop Dogg to deliver man on the street observations. They are going to get one of the Mannings and I think Kelly Clarkson to co-host, Jimmy Fallon to co-host. They're going to put heart monitors on the parents of the athletes to just show, I guess, their heart going nuts when they're watching their kid nearly die in some crazy gymnastics thing or ski accident or whatever. I don't even know.
They definitely don't want to put it on audience members because there'll be like hardly any pulse there.
Well, all the audience members are dead. Like, Snoop Dogg is in an interesting category because, like, he's got some criminal history, seems to be a heavy drug user, was definitely in some porn. And yet, just totally embraced by, like, family-friendly programming.
Rapping about B's and H's.
Yes.
You know, like, to put it as softly as I can. Mm-hmm. So, you have this guy. Drugs, crime, probably a murder in there somewhere, potentially, I think, is what happened back in the day.
We should do an all-star team of people who seemingly should have been canceled, but aren't. Because
he's
Eminem,
America's sweetheart.
Eminem,
like
I put on this, right? Like, yeah. Eminem, the things he was saying, especially against gay people, how did he get away with that? Mike Tyson, a convicted rapist, is like, hey, let's bring him back.
It's like, meanwhile, like any schlub on the street, if they dig up a tweet from like 2008 when they were in high school making a gay joke, they're done.
They're done.
Their life is over.
Dan Andros, managing editor of CBN News. Make sure to check him out on the Quick Start podcast from CBN. Head over and subscribe today. Dan, thanks for hanging out.
All right. Thanks for having me.
One of the biggest problems we face today is, why aren't our politicians more wealthy? I know a lot of people are like, why can't they just be billionaires instead of just millionaires? Well, so where's all this money coming from anyway? Because they make, good salaries, but why are they all like millionaires and why are they making all this money? And by the way, when they're making all this money, who's doing the job they were supposed to do? Well, check out Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich. It's available now on Blaze TV. Just go to steworiginals.com, use the promo code steworiginals, get 30 bucks off your subscription. It's all about insider trading, all the shady things going on in our government. Again, it's steworiginals.com, promo code steworiginals, get 30 bucks off.